problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Rob Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Physical fitness, whatever. You know, whatever. You do what you like to do, I do what I like to do, okay? But you're a sucker. You're getting fed this line about how, like, you're gonna live forever, whatever. You're gonna die. Someone will kill you. Someone will kill you with a knife. Make sure your abs are friggin' ripped. You got some good guns. You wanna look good for when you get stabbed with a knife. Sorry, that's how it works.
Okay, are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line here. If you'd like to talk to me, leave me some sort of feedback, message, anything you want. Call me names, compliments, anything. I don't care. That's what it's for. HMBRadio.com is the website. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you have not. Search HMB Radio Tampa Bay, all one word. HMB Radio is one word, and then Tampa Bay. That's Hotel Mike Bravo. And subscribe and tell a friend while you're there. You know, that's word of mouth is, you know, the best form of advertising if you enjoy this little podcast here. I appreciate you. Appreciate you taking the time to do that. If you want some stickers, I have some. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast, all one word, at Radio St. Pete. That's Radio STPETE.com. Send me some sort of mailing address, and I will send you out some stickers. So that's nice. And, of course, I co-host a radio show weeknights at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. It's called Stay Woke. It's with Anna Hummel, and we're going to get to a clip where we talk about how we kind of got into radio and what made us want to do it and advice we got along the way, some good advice, some bad advice, and we're going to get to that a little later. But, yeah, we're talking about Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force is talking about fitness. Guess what I did? This is where I'm going to brag to you a little bit because I feel good about it. I feel good about myself. I ran the and props to the St. Pete Run Fest here. They put on a really good event. I'm an announcer for Florida Road Races, who is a direct competitor of the St. Pete Run Fest, but I don't get a chance to run in Florida Road Races. They're also awesome. You should check them out if you're into running, floridaroadraces.com. But I actually had the opportunity to run in it because it was comped. I wouldn't pay to do that. That's insane. But since it was comped, I've been running off and on for about a year and a half just for my mental frame, my mental standpoint, my worldview. You need to exercise. You need to move your body, and you know I understand that, and everybody does. And whether you get up and actually do it or not, that's a whole other thing. But I've been doing it for about a year and a half, so I decided to challenge myself with a 10K, which is 6.2 miles. I usually run three miles, you know, a couple times a week, three, four times a week. But I didn't really gone out of my way to train or anything like that. You know, I just did my normal thing and actually did it, frankly. Galvin from the Mike Calta Show, he's into running, and he was going to do it. And I figured, oh, it'd be a good chance to hang out with Galvin. And then Galvin ended up getting some endorsement with some weight loss guy. So he was on some special diet, and he couldn't exercise because he was consuming not a lot of calories a day. So he couldn't do exercise. So he ended up not being able to do it. So Anna and I ended up, Anna blames me for suckering her into it. That wasn't the case at all. I just said I was going to do the 10K, and she wanted to do the 5K. And when she found out I was going to do the 10K, she didn't want me to show her up, as she said, because she's insane. She's a crazy person. But so we ended up doing the 10K. And Anna kicked ass, man. Anna ended up taking second place in her age group. She finished in like 47 minutes or something, which is crazy. And then I finished an hour and 17 minutes and some change, which is like a 12-minute mile, a little bit over 12-minute mile. But, you know, I took my time. I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to burn myself out. Ran the first mile. And then was like, uh-oh, I should probably just move my feet and shuffle so I don't get too tired. And so that's what I did. And then the last mile, I ran. And, you know, it was fun. It was, I feel like I accomplished something. I have a sense of that. But I also feel like, was it something that was worth accomplishing? Was it worth it, you know, to say? Because you got this medal, and I don't know what to do with this thing. It's a participation trophy, pretty much. We talked about that, how lame it was that I was wearing my participation medal. Otto was making fun of me. But, you know, I don't know what to do with it. I know you can donate them, and I tried to find somewhere to donate my medal. I just wanted to get a picture with it, you know. I wanted a picture of me with the medal that I did it, just as proof, because I'm never going to do it again, probably. So I wanted to have some sort of proof that I actually did this thing. But then, you know, what's stopping me from just taking a picture with a medal and saying I did something? So then they were selling these... the pictures, they have the pro photographers that are out there, you know, that are taking pictures of everybody as they cross the finish line. And they sent me these proofs of these things. $60, you know, for a few photos. And I look terrible. And most of them, I'm tired, I'm sweating, I'm gasping for air trying to finish this race. And but one of them looked pretty good. I looked pretty, it's probably an optical illusion, it just caught me at the right time. But my arm looks like it has some definition in it. And, you know, I'm looking, my legs are, you know, fully extended. I look like I'm putting in effort with the stride and everything. And I was like, oh, man, I kind of want this picture. And that's really proof that I did it crossing the finish line. You know, that's even more proof. I guess, of course, you could cheat your way around that, too. But even it's even more unlikely, you know, because I got the number on and everything. And then I'm looking at this picture. It's $15. I'm broke and cheap, which is a lethal combo. Because I don't buy myself anything. I have problems spending money for something like that. But I opted to spend that money because I wanted the picture to put on social media. Of course. Of course. What else am I going to do with it? I have to show everybody that I accomplished something. And I'm proud of myself. And I want other people to be proud of me too. So I ended up buying the $15 picture. And because you don't want to get a hard copy of it. What am I going to do? Hang up a picture of myself in my apartment? That's weird. No. But, you know, you can put it up on social media and get likes. And then the Bumble profile, of course. You know, I look pretty good in it. So I got to get it for the dating profile, obviously. That's going to be, that's key. So I ended up doing that. But St. Pete Run Fest was a lot of fun. Congratulations, Anna. She's got many congratulations for me. But it is very impressive because I know she used to run, but she kind of just started training within a few weeks. But she's tight. I mean, she weighs 8 pounds. So she's got nothing to move. I'm 250 pounds. I got to carry a lot of stuff around with me at all times. But still, it's a big accomplishment, and congratulations to her. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I had a fine Thanksgiving. I went over to a friend's house. It was fantastic. We had a nice dinner. Didn't have to interact with people, family members that I see once a year. I just hung out and had a nice time with some friends of mine. The family stuff's overrated. You know, I mean, I'm a product of divorce. My parents divorced when I was 2. So I always have to choose who am I going, whose house am I going to, I don't know. And this way I can avoid all, I don't have to go take a tour of Pinellas County, go see dad and go see mom and then somebody's going to get offended if I, you know, don't go to one place, if I don't eat over here and eat over, you know what, forget that, I'm not doing that. And it's my birthday, you know, it's my birthday today, actually, when this airs on Radio St. Pete on Sunday, so I can do whatever I want. That's what I figure. Nobody's going to be offended. That my parents like me and love me, so they'll be happy with whatever I do. So that's what I opted to do this time, and it was very nice. We did a couple of bone events. We did collected cans and, you know, doing stuff for Metropolitan Ministries. I worked this one event with Seth Cush from Drew Garabo Live. He was the talent that was out there. I was working in promo. And we set up at a Sprint store, and the deal was is that if you donate a can, you know, bring in some sort of canned food item, you can register to win for a Publix gift card, $100. It's a sweet deal. So as sometimes at these events, you know, give you some behind the scenes, you know, inside baseball type thing, people just are there. They don't necessarily hear it on the radio. They're just in the store doing phone stuff, paying their bill or whatever. So we have people coming up and just signing their name, putting it in the box. And there's one guy who comes up and I go, he starts to sign his name. I go, well, sir, you know, we're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to bring in some sort of canned food. And they didn't know in their defense, but it's still part of the deal. Sorry. I mean, it's a go to the 7-Eleven and grab a can of something and bring it back and you can sign up. But this guy was from Israel. Now, I'm a part-time Jew. My mom's side of my family is Jewish. And Seth is, I think, full-blown Jew, I think. I don't know if he practices or anything. I don't really do anything Jewish or anything like that. But him saying that, he mentioned that he was Jewish. And I was just like, so what? What does that have to do with it? Like, he couldn't donate anything because he's cheap or something. He was kind of implying that thing and I think trying to be funny. But frankly, I didn't find it offensive, but I was just like, what does that mean? Like, what, are you just justifying those stereotypes just to get a gift card here? I mean, it was a little bit troublesome to me. Not offensive. I don't get offended by anything, but it was a little bit troublesome. And he was the only person to drop their name in the hat during this thing. So he won the card without donating a thing. So I said, look, dude, please promise me that you will go and take a portion of this card that you got and donate something to charity, okay? Oh, yes, of course I will, of course. I know he's not. I know that. I know he's not going to do that, but it makes me feel better, you know, convincing myself that that was the case. But it's like, good God, man, this is charity, man. It's Thanksgiving. There's people who, you know, can't afford a meal, and this is what they're, just bring in a canned food, and for God's sake. Then there's this other lady. Of course there's another lady. There's always another lady at these things. And she comes up, same thing. I go, look, you have to donate a canned food item. It's just, it's part of the deal. And she, of course, she kind of gives me this sort of little, yeah, well, sorry, that's what's happening. So you can go to the store, go to 7-Eleven across the street and grab something and bring it back. Or don't enter. It's as easy as that. And so she decides, okay, all right. So she goes and brings in a can of tuna fish. You can't grab a can of corn or green beans. It's Thanksgiving. Good God. Potatoes? Canned potatoes? No, brings in a can of tuna fish. All right, whatever. This other kid, he's new, so I kind of let him handle this. Then she comes up and goes. She's with a group. It's her and two other ladies that are with her. And she goes, yeah, this is for me, and then these other two are also going to register. They're with me. So, I don't think so. That's not how this works. It's one can of food per entry. But the kid, he doesn't know. He doesn't want a confrontation. Okay, sure. So all three of them fill out the gift card thing. For a $100 gift card for one goddamn can. I was infuriated. But I can't fight with these people. What am I supposed to do? And I was just hoping and praying that they didn't win. None of these people won who did this crap. And thankfully, they didn't. It was some lady. She was nice, but she was another one who went and got a can of Vienna sausages. Lady, just grab a can of corn. It's Thanksgiving time. I don't understand what these people's problem is. So she ended up winning, and she was very, very happy. And she was, oh, I got a bunch of clothes at home I can donate. Okay, don't give me a chore here. You do it yourself. Don't bring it to me. Go to Metropolitan Ministries and donate it there. I'm sure they would be happy to have it, and they would thank you greatly. But don't give me a chore. Jeez, I'm getting paid $10 an hour, for God's sakes. But yeah, Thanksgiving was good, aside from people being people. 813-693-2124 is the number. How was your Thanksgiving? Any good stories? You get any fights with fam? What happened? Tell me. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you locally by TruVSalonAndSpa.com. That's right, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. The finest salon and spa in all of St. Petersburg. Botox Lady is coming. That's right, once a month she stops in and injects poison into whoever's face. I was going to say ladies, but men can do it too, because that's something that guys do, yeah. But I don't want to get in trouble again. I'll go listen to last week's podcast. But anywho, Botox Lady's coming. If you're an individual, a person on the planet, human being, that would like to smooth your face out, well, you can do it at TruV Salon and Spa, and then you can get your hair cut and your nails did and whatever else you want done over there. I don't think they do sex stuff, but to be frank, I don't know. Only one way to find out, that's to ask. TruV is spelled T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salon and spa.com. You can make your appointment today online. Tell them Will sent you, and don't tell the other stuff that I said, okay? Thank you very much. TruVSalonSpa.com, and also Homemade Podcasts, HomemadePodcasts.com. There's your one-stop shop. It is a media consulting company. If you're an individual that's interested in getting involved into some sort of podcasting, have no idea where to start, well, I'm your guy. I can help you for a small fee, whether it's equipment or if it's RSS feeds, you know, stuff on the internet in order to get it up on iTunes and stuff like that. I know how to do that. How do you know? Because I'm talking to you through that medium right now. That's right. I am a media professional, folks. Or if you're a business that is interested in reaching new and existing clientele through audio content for your website, well, hey, guess what? I'd love to work with you. Reach me at homemadepodcasts.com, 813-693-2124. You can leave a voicemail there, and I will get back to you. And if you're a business that's interested in advertising on a small little podcast here in the St. Pete area to reach individuals in Tampa Bay, well, I got one for you. It's called The Homemade Broadcast, and you're listening to it right now. Get at me, 813-693-2124. I look forward to working with you.
This is The Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
Well, we may have a new famous person, maybe moving to the area. He has children that live in this area. One's a realtor, I believe, and the other one does married some higher-up person. I'm talking about convicted criminal, not murderer. He was acquitted of murder. And he was a great football running back in the 70s. O.J. Simpson. Yes, that's right. O.J. Simpson had himself a night out in downtown St. Petersburg earlier this week. Yes, this is from the Tampa Bay Times, by the way. Yes, that O.J. Simpson hanging out in downtown St. Pete on a Tuesday night. But no, that doesn't mean he's moved back to Florida or has any immediate plans to. Simpson was spotted out on Beach Drive in a downtown jazz club called Ruby's Elixir, reigniting rumors that he'd moved to the city to be close to his grown children who live in the area. St. Petersburg resident Paul Brown was having an anniversary dinner with his wife at Cassis on Beach Drive when he was surprised to see Simpson walk by in a group of five or six people. He said, "Hey, OJ!" And then OJ cut his head off. No, he didn't do that. He said, "Hi, how are you?" And he said he was the only one who said anything to him. Everyone was kind of quiet, but after he was gone, we all looked at each other like, wow, I wish I'd taken a picture now. Later, Brown went to an art gallery and says that he was told that OJ had been there earlier as well. And, of course, there was a social media post. One guy posted a public Facebook photo with Simpson at a location tagged Oak and Stone, the new downtown pizza restaurant. Barbara Gray, who was visiting St. Petersburg from Alabama, posted photos of a smiling Simpson from the Canopy Rooftop Bar. at the Birchwood. Man, he was all over. He took selfies with anyone who asked, she said. I didn't want one, but he knew people were taking photos of him. Did you get a photo with OJ if you see him? I mean, I know that he probably, you know, killed people. He's a murderer, probably. But he was acquitted in a court of law, so he's not convicted, but definitely probably did that. I mean, I think we're all in agreement here. But do you get a photo with him? I think you gotta, right? I mean, I'm a fan of, I love football. I liked O.J. Simpson in, what's those movies with Leslie Nielsen? Not Top Gun, Bent. Oh, jeez. You know what I'm talking about. Leslie Nielsen in the 90s. 33 and a half. Loaded Gun, 33 and a half. Can't think of it. Not important. But yeah, you gotta get a picture with him just to prove that you saw him. I mean, what else are you going to do? An employee at Stillwater's Tavern wrote on Twitter that, O.J. Simpson just walked down the street at my work. She told the Times later that it was just before closing time. After that, a singer performing at Ruby's Elixir posted a selfie with Simpson, but deleted it after attracting unwanted attention, according to Creative Loafing. Isn't that what you wanted if you're a singer-songwriter? Because I heard that he went up to her and said, oh, you have a lovely voice. And she was like, oh, my God, it's all not convicted murderer O.J. Simpson. Can we take a photo together? This would look really good for me. And then she took it down. It doesn't make any sense when she got attention for it. Stupid ass. It appears Simpson, the Heisman Trophy winner and former NFL star who was acquitted of his ex-wife's murder in the trial of the century, is just in town for the Thanksgiving holiday. Simpson was released on parole in July 2017 after serving nearly 9 years for convictions related to the armed robbery of two sports memorabilia dealers in Las Vegas. The Nevada Department of Corrections granted Simpson an out-of-state travel permit for November 17th to the 24th, which means he'll have to return to Nevada, where he has been living, by Sunday, Patrick Manderfield, press secretary for the Florida Department of Corrections, said via email. While in Florida, Mr. Simpson is required to adhere to his parole conditions and remain in contact with his parole officer in Nevada. He said the Florida Department of Corrections was briefed on Simpson's travel plans and will assist with any supervision needed during his stay. Among the conditions, Simpson's parole is he is not to drink alcohol to excess. How would you know? Simpson's son, Justin, is a realtor in St. Pete. His daughter, Sydney, also lives in the area and has invested in properties here. After Simpson was released, there was speculation he might move to Florida. Simpson's lawyer, Malcolm Laverge, said today that his client is a permanent resident of Nevada and has no plans to move right now. Simpson has been photographed out in public frequently and in and around Las Vegas since his release. He's just a regular citizen enjoying his family, Laverne said. I'm not going to confirm where he is or his travel plans, but I will say that wherever he is, there's a security protocol in place. If someone tries to mess with him or set him up, they'll end up with a mugshot in the paper. But Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi released a statement in September 2017 asking that Florida's Department of Corrections block Simpson from moving to the state, saying that our state should not become a country club for this convicted criminal. However, under the rules of interstate compact that governs parole transfers, it appears there would be little stopping Simpson from moving to the Sunshine State if he requested it. So there you go. O.J. Simpson might be our neighbor here. I would love to have him on a podcast. That would be fantastic. If you know O.J. Simpson, tell him to hit me up, hmbradio.com, at 813-693-2124, and you can do the same.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Stay Woke is a program, a radio program, on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay, available at TheBoneOnline.com, or you can get The Bone app. Just search 102.5 The Bone and get the Radio St. Pete app while you're there, and you can listen to Stay Woke on demand because it's on at midnight, and you probably sleep like a normal person. But it's a fun show. It's with myself and Anna Hummel as the host, and we talk about all sorts of things. So this week, we touched a little bit about, it was a short week because of Thanksgiving holiday, but we got to cover for Roger and JP, who are the Midday Guys, radio veterans, awesome dudes. They live up in Long Island. They've been doing it a long time, and we got asked to cover for them on Wednesday, and it was super fun, awesome, cool, all those things. And I think it was a learning experience. You know, there's a lot of pressure when people are actually listening to the radio, because that's a time where people listen to the radio. They're at work, and you know, we have listeners too. Like, we have people that call in and stay woke, and you know, but not like, you know, it's multiplied during the midday. So there was some pressure, like, don't screw this up, man. And we didn't. I think we did a fine job. And we talked a little bit about how we got into radio and advice we got from people that were in the business, some good, some bad. So let's check out this clip from Stay Woke, Midnights, 102.5 The Bone.
It is days like today that really do motivate me, because it's kind of like, hopefully, a little crack in the window of our potential future, hopefully. I know a lot of people get discouraged because, you know, to be honest with you, obviously the pay isn't great, especially when you're part-time. And we don't do it for the money, clearly. If you are thinking about getting into radio, don't do it unless you love it, you know. And I never, ever thought I would find something that I enjoyed or that was such a good fit as radio is for me. I mean, whether or not I'm good at it, I enjoy it. That's what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. I really, I eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. It's just, it's my life. And I've told people this before. When I was in Detroit and I was in grad school and I was super unhappy, I believed that I was a lazy person. I thought that it was a character flaw because I couldn't get any of my work done. I was so unhappy and I was so miserable, less miserables, and I just hated my life. I hated where it was going. And to get every assignment, to write every paper, to study for every stats exam was just so painful. I could not get it done. So I had told myself, and I actually believed it, that I was a lazy person. I was a perpetual procrastinator, didn't do any of my work. I used to be a stellar student in grad school. I was like, man, I just want to pass. Like, I just didn't care. So I'm like, I guess I'm lazy now. I thought I acquired laziness over my time off between undergrad and grad school. But then as soon as I started to get into radio, I realized I'm not lazy at all. I was just unhappy. And to try to get yourself to do something that is just not the right fit it was just impossible for me to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. I mean, once you find something that you like doing that you're passionate about, then you're like, oh, I'll work hard. That's the same thing with me. When I was in college, oh my God, it was brutal having to go to class and paying attention and trying to take business classes. Forget about it. Yeah. I'm not smart enough to be in that realm of academia.
I disagree with you. I think you are very intelligent. You just weren't interested in that.
Not interested in it at all. Yeah. I had no desire. And I got to the point where I was like, look, just give me something the quickest way out of here.
Sure.
And they're like, you can get an English degree. I'm like, let's do it. Yeah. And I buckled down and did it.
Yeah.
Struggled through, got my C average, but that's okay. C's get degrees, you know?
No,
so it's all good.
I definitely think that you're way smarter than you give yourself credit for. I mean, the amount of research that you do just on a daily basis, just trying to educate yourself, and in stuff that you're interested in. Like, you just start pulling up stuff on recycling that I didn't know about, you know? But it's like, and I'm the same way, where I love to research stuff on my own time, things that I myself am interested in. That's really going to motivate me to learn things. When you're told that you have to learn this in a classroom, and I mean, I had 4-hour classes like once a week, and it was just murder. I was falling asleep minute two, and it was just like a stats class, like the most dry. And painful. The classroom was like in this dark, dank, it looked like a penitentiary in like this small town in Detroit suburb. It was the worst.
I still have nightmares. Sometimes I'll wake up. I haven't been in school 2011. I graduated. So it's been a long time. But sometimes I wake up and think, oh my God, am I in school? Do I have to do something? Luckily, it's been way less the past few years, but it still haunts me. And that time, I learned a lot in college. I learned putting myself out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that too. But putting myself out there, and because I took a lot of art classes, and the first day of art, the lady was just like, just do whatever you want, you know, and we're just hanging out today.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the class, when it's getting to be the end of the class, she goes, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a critique of what you did today.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to hang all our stuff up, and then we were going to critique everybody's works. And I went, I'm not doing that.
Right.
And, but you had to. It was part of the class. So I did. And then it's hard. Like, I worked on this. There's feeling in it. You know, there's my grit in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid to put myself out there like that. So I learned that it's not the big, it's not the end of the world when someone says, "Oh, I think you could have done this better," and you go, "Eh, screw you. You don't, you don't know anything."
Right.
Oh, but thank you. Yeah, I'll consider it next time. So that was a valuable lesson, mm-hmm. and because I had to do it more and more as I took more classes. But was it worth $40,000?
No.
Ugh, I don't know. Yeah.
Dude, I'm $84,000 in debt. Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't know at what this mine point, is now, but
at this point, I look at college loans as like just a utility fee. Do you
have a piece of paper for that $84,000?
I have an undergrad, but I didn't get my graduate degree.
Okay.
I quit. Yeah, I quit. Right. And people, here's the thing, and this still kind of haunts me. This is kind of like the one thing that I don't know if I would. Let me just explain. So I finished. I feel like everyone is going to get on my case for this. I finished all the coursework for my my master's degree. I took 2 years of classes to get my master's. And then I had to do a final thesis project. And the final thesis, I mean, it in and of itself was a class that I just didn't attend because it was like a class on your own time sort of a thing. And I never did it. I just didn't do it. And my professor would, try to follow up with me 3 months later, 6 months later, a year. I mean, even when I moved to Florida, he was like, "Hey, are you going to finish that thesis?" Because it looks really bad on him that he has students that didn't complete the program. And I was toying with the idea of trying to get it done. Even like last year, I was like, maybe I should just bust out this thesis. And everyone was kind of pressuring me into it. Like, why don't you finish? And now then you can have that piece of paper. And I was going back and forth. And I would say as recent as the last 6 months, I told myself, why would I want to spend one more minute devoting my time and effort into something I'm never going to use? Ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm with radio, you don't need a goddamn degree. Like, I see 18-year-olds who are like, they're doing promo, working their way up. That's how you move up in this business. Why would I suddenly take off, five, 10, 15 hours a week to get a project done that I'm not going to use and take that effort away from what I'm really trying to pursue? So it's kind of like this, they call it sunk cost fallacy, where, you have like a dying business, but because you've invested so much, you feel like you need to invest more. You know what I mean? Because you can't let go of it. You're like, I got to finish it. But I'm like, dude, I'm not. Yeah, maybe I quit. That's fine. But it opened another door for me. Why would I want to put more resources and time into something that is not my plan A? I'm all about plan A, man. I have no plan B, and I've told everybody this. I have friends that are like, well, this is my dream job, but if it doesn't work out, I'm also taking this course, and I'm going to be a yoga instructor, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, why are you doing any of that stuff? Burn all plan B through Z, focus on plan A, and just run that course as hard and fast as possible. And that's what I'm doing. There is no backup plan. I'm either going to make it in radio or I'm going to die trying to make it in radio. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at it.
Sometimes I think about it. I'm like, man, I should have skipped the college thing. I should have went and got a job in promo at a radio station. It probably would have been pretty easy. 2003, radio was still popping. I mean, it's still popping, but not like it was back in the 80s
and
90s.
Sure, it's on the rock star Howard Stern days. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, man, what could I have been now at that point if I would have started when I was 18? I know you can't because it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
But you think about it, and maybe it could have been completely different. Maybe I would have, got fired. I wasn't the most motivated 18-year-old.
And so then you could have said, hey, maybe radio's not for me.
Yeah, or thought, talked myself out of it or whatever. So I like to think that everything happened for a reason.
Sure.
And this plan that I'm on now and this path is where I'm supposed to be. But it's hard not to go back and be like, man, if I had $40,000, I could buy a house right now.
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe who knows where I'd be.
Listen, I don't want to say I wasted a lot of time, but I spent a lot of time doing other stuff. I didn't have to get a degree in physical anthropology and then go on to attempt a master's degree in evolutionary psychology. But you know what? I'm glad that I did it, because if I didn't do all that stuff, I wouldn't be the person I am today. It really helped me in a lot of ways. Obviously gave me more education to talk about things on air. It gave me a more open-minded perspective. Listen, learning about anything is never going to hurt you. So I'm glad I got that education. Was it worth the money? I don't know. Probably not. But listen, what's done is done. Now I'm like, all right, what where are we today? It's November 21st, 2018. What can we do today and beyond? We can't worry about before. And I told you, when I first tried to crack into radio, like, pretty seriously, I was like 26, 27 years old. That's pretty old.
Yeah, yeah.
To get started. I had never worked in radio before, 26, 27. And I had a meeting with a program director in Detroit. You've seen Private Parts, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you remember the Duke of Rock or the Doc of Rock?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
He was in Cleveland. Well, that was the dude. He was like the most famous person in Detroit radio. I don't want to say his name, but he worked at the station that I was at, and I scheduled a meeting with him because he worked in the building. And he's like, I told him these are my plans, and he's like, how old are you? And I'm like, oh, I just turned 27. I remember it was like a week after my birthday, and he goes, oh, you're too old. You should have started when you were 22. And I go, okay. Well, anyways, and I just kind of kept going with my plan. Excuse me. And he interrupted me again, and he's like, listen, like, you should have started when you were 22. Like, 27 is, like, way too old to get started. And I continued again, and I think he said it, mentioned my age a third time, and I said, listen, a-hole. I didn't say that, but I was like, listen, his name is Doug. I'm like, listen, Doug, okay, I can't change that. Like, we can talk about what I should have done and back in the day, or I should have started when I was 18. Well, I didn't do any of that, so what can I do now? What can I do tomorrow? And then he was like, okay. And then he actually gave me some constructive advice and instead of just telling me what I should have done. But I didn't listen to that guy. I could have listened to him and been like, oh, he's right. I'm too old to do it. Well, listen, 5 years are going to go by down the line anyways. I'm either going to be still unhappy or I could be moving along in radio. Mm-hmm. So, and listen, I talked to this other guy who was in radio for like 15, 20 years. And listen, this guy was a loser, okay? A complete loser. I was kind of set up with it, not romantically, but like people were like, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. So I talked to this guy, and I remember I had a meeting with him, and he told me, I said, I want to do talk radio. And he looked at me, and he's like, listen, you're not going to get on a talk radio show for probably about 15 years. He's like, you're going to probably have to move to a small market. You're going to be doing overnight, like, country morning radio, introing songs from, like, midnight to 6 a.m. That's what you're going to have to do. That's what he told me. He's like, that's what you're going to have to do for about 15 years. I'm not kidding. He said 15 years.
Oh, it's nauseating.
And he's like, and you know why? Because that was his experience. That's what he had to do. So that was just how it goes. So I said, okay. All right. And I'm like smiling at him, and I walked away from that meeting, and I literally was like, F that. I'm like, I'm leaving this town. I'm leaving Detroit. There's no way. I'm going to skip the line. You know, I made that joke about Monica when I first moved here, and I was like, I don't wait in lines. I really do mean that. Like, I was like, I don't wait in lines. I'm going to find a way around the system. So what do I do instead of waiting for someone to die in Detroit so I could get their spot? I'm like, I'm leaving that market. I'm going to a smaller market, and I'm working my way up there. And that's exactly what I did. So people are going to just tell you what their experience is. It doesn't mean that that is how it has to go. People told me I was too old to start doing radio. That's a lie. Someone told me I had to wait 15 years to get on a talk radio program. Listen, I moved here. I was on air in 6 months. Like, it was just, it's just not the case. So you just keep pushing and don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
You can do anything. Just put your mind to it.
That's not true either. That's definitely not true.
All right. So pretty much don't listen to anybody. Just do what you're going to do. Believe in your heart that it's the right thing. That's the only advice I don't know if that's going to work or not, but that's the best I got. My unsolicited advice for you. HMBRadio.com. Rate, subscribe to this podcast at HMB Radio, one word, Tampa Bay. Yeah, subscribe, rate, hit me up, 813-693-2124. If you're listening on podcast, thank you very much. If you're listening on radio, say Pete. Stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit after that. And I hope you enjoy your week. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you find love and happiness. My name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Have a great life. See you next week. Goodbye.
For wanting to be free, I just wanted you to know.
You have found the homemade broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.